It's a burn. It's a plane. It... Wait, it really is... It is a plane. And it's... It has a circus boy in it. So, I guess that means... It's mocha latte time. This week's podcast is from, well, everywhere, as I catch up with my brother in Seattle, and I come to you from an Atlanta airport, as well as a certain aircraft over a body of water, and, of course, a new song from my dog, all coming up next. Hello, and welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from, actually, from the Atlanta airport, here at Atlanta, Hatfield-Jackson Airport, and I'm en route to Hawaii, so great podcast coming up for you this week. A lot of coffee places between Carlsbad, New Mexico, Artesia, New Mexico, and Amarillo, Texas, Lubbock, Texas, all over the place. So busy week, but you're going to hear lots of extra noise in the background. I don't have a whole lot of time here because I'm just about to board the plane from Atlanta over to Honolulu. So yeah, it's kind of weird. I rode the motorcycle to Houston this morning, put it in the shop, and then Houston to Atlanta, and then Atlanta to Honolulu. So yeah, welcome to the podcast. This is my weekly podcast where I go around the country with the circus. That's right, the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, and I have to say I've been drinking some mocha lattes today, and I think my official verdict is that airport mocha lattes pretty much stink all around. It's pretty unanimous. I haven't had a good one. They're mostly, for those of you espresso fanatics, it's mostly semi-automatic machines out there. And there was one standard machine out there, but they use pods, espresso pods. So, yeah, not that good stuff. But in any case, as I said, I'm here at Atlanta. And busy week this week. As last time I came to you, we were in El Paso, and did a lot of traveling. That got to stop by Carlsbad Caverns this week, and got to drive through Roswell, see the alien street lamps that they have. Their street lamp, you know, normal street lamps have the place where they have the lamp part, the bulb or the light. And in this case, they have little alien heads on them. So pretty. I guess you got to capitalize on your tourist industry. So. Pretty good stuff, but yeah, so here at Atlanta, first leg went okay, about an hour and a half flight, and then we're jumping from Atlanta to Honolulu, and it's about a 10-hour flight, but yeah, I've been drinking coffee all the way, that's for sure, and yeah, so good stuff coming up this week. I have my brother on the podcast, as I mentioned there in the little intro. He was out in the Northwest this week in Seattle and Oregon, and excited to have him on. He got to visit one of the, what I consider one of the meccas of coffee shops in the country. So we're going to get to hear about all his trip, and then I'll come back and give you the coffee scene, and I don't know, maybe I'll do the coffee scene from the airplane. We'll see how that goes. Or maybe when I get to Hawaii, I don't know. In any case, you're along on the trip, you're here with me in the airport. And yeah, it's good stuff. So a lot of fun stuff happened this week. So I'm going to get right to the interview with Ben, my brother, and we'll come back, give you the coffee scene, and wrap up for this week. All right. All right, so I'm here with my brother on the phone, and he is joining me from where, Ben?
Cannon Beach, Oregon.
That's right, that's right. And I forgot to introduce you. I just said my brother. Your name is Ben, and he's my younger brother, my little brother. And his wife, which is my sister-in-law, is also there. And she's there too, hanging out, right?
Yeah. She's just kind of hanging.
Cool.
Here.
Is she drinking any coffee?
No. Not currently.
Oh, that's a shame. I was hoping that would have changed since. See, for all you listen, if you go back in the podcast, I think to number, as one of the first ones, I think it was maybe number three, episode three or episode four, I had a whole bunch of you guys on the whole podcast at once, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, that was from your place there, right? In Pennsylvania?
Yep. Yeah, there were probably 10 or 15 of us there at the time.
Okay. But more importantly, Ben is out on the West Coast. And where have you visited so far?
Well, we started out at Mount Hood. We went to the historic Timberline Lodge and did a little bit of skiing up there at Timberline. For those of you that don't know much about Mount Hood, it's the one place in North America you can ski year-round. It's where the U.S. Olympic ski team trains in the summer, and
did you run into the ski team at all?
We didn't. There were a lot of really good skiers around, but I think they come up here towards later June into July and August, so we were a little early yet.
Okay.
But from there, we headed north and went to the great city of Seattle, Washington, and in Seattle we did the City Pass tour, which for those that haven't been to Seattle or other cities, there's a bunch of cities that do this. They have a City Pass tour or City Pass ticket you can buy, and you can get into like five different things, museums or aquariums, zoos, like the Space Needle, things like that, sight to see kind of thing. And it gets you into a whole bunch of stuff for like half the price of the usual price. So we got the tour around Seattle, and then we headed down to Mount St. Helens, checked that out, learned about the great volcanoes on the west coast here, and then went down to Cannon Beach, where we're currently at, and we hiked a little bit of the trail of Lewis and Clark this morning, and now just enjoying the place. So.
Very cool. Yeah. Now, I have to say, and I'm happy to readily admit it, that I'm definitely jealous that you're on the West Coast and I'm in Beaumont, Texas, because you are in the middle. Well, maybe not Cannon Beach, but that whole vicinity is coffee central, pretty much for the United States. Now, you said you did get to visit a couple, or at least one of the coffee meccas in the U.S., right?
Yes. If that's what you say it is. I visited a Cafe Vivace. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the main one. That's the main one. Yes.
Yeah.
And what did you order at Cafe Vivace?
Cafe Vivace, I ordered a regular latte, a grande latte. And mm-hmm. I also got a grande mocha latte for Don, who's our uncle. He got one of those.
Right.
So that's what I had there, and I must say it was pristine.
Pristine? In what way? The look or the taste? Wait, is it in the look or the taste or what have you?
Well, when they serve it to you, first off, you have, well, let me back up. You get out of your car, and even on the street, before you get in the building, you have a real fresh aroma of fresh beans, roasted beans. And you walk into the cafe, and mm-hmm. you just have this atmosphere of kind of not old rustic, but a rustic kind of 60s, 70s feel, kind of a retro cafe feel, and it's when they serve you your latte or whatever you might get, mine had incredible latte art on top. It's like, if you do a search on Google, you'll find pictures of this stuff that you think that, how could anyone make this? And they do every time. It's amazing. So that was part of the pristine. And then after taking the first sip, it was very, has a great, how do I describe it? It's smooth.
Was it the texture?
Again?
Was it the texture, the mouth the mouth feel of the drink?
Yeah. I mean, just the flavor was very. It was a distinct, smooth latte flavor. It was very good. I mean, it was mm-hmm. very well done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
you weren't disappointed, in other words?
Not at all. Not a bit.
That's good. That's good. Now, I always thought that the Cafe Vivace there, the feel of it is definitely kind of like a very European, in my opinion. Yeah. If I remember right, they have counters along the walls, and they do have some tables, but it's pretty simple. They definitely don't. I don't remember seeing any big big leather couches that you see in some cafes or. Or
right.
even, I think they also had like a mosaic kind of tile floor, right?
Right, yep. Yep.
Okay. And of course, I think, if I remember correctly, they have a beautiful La Marzocco espresso machine there. So, yeah. Well, good stuff. Did you have any trouble finding parking? Because you said you were there pretty early in the morning, like during the morning rush.
Well, yeah, I actually probably got there before the morning rush. As circumstances turned out with our scheduling, the only way I could get to the Cafe Vivace was the morning we were leaving Seattle, and so I decided I was going to wake up at 5:30 and try to beat the traffic to get into the downtown and get the first cup of the day, but not the first cup of the day. There were a couple people in there before me, but they opened at 6 o'clock, and I was there at 6:10. So,
nice.
I got there bright and early, and there was a steady, a stream of people, a steady flow. I wouldn't say, it was like a rush. There was a flow of people coming in, getting their daily cup. One guy had I can't remember what it was called, but basically an espresso shot. And his paper, and he was just hanging out reading the morning paper kind of thing. So
very
yeah.
Cool. You're a trooper, man. You're going out early in the morning. That sounds like something I would do, not you.
Well, I've been hearing that this place is really good, and I had a recommendation from none other than the coffee man yourself there, so I figured I had to try this place.
Oh yes.
Yeah, but it was worth
yeah,
it. Tell you what.
Good. I'm glad you weren't disappointed. Although I know you're biased in your affinity for for me as your brother, but in any case, how were the baristas? You said they were definitely skilled. Were they? I mean, were they friendly? I think you said you talked with one of them. Were they kind of open to talking, or were they just very kind of doing my work, don't talk to me, don't look at me type of thing, or what?
Oh, no, they were very friendly. I asked them questions, and anything I'd ask them about it, what they were doing, things about their roasting or about their coffee. I bought some beans while I was there and asked them about the different roasting, the different beans that they had there, I forget what kind of different blends, but yeah, they were really helpful, and I don't know how to say it, but they were really friendly, really open, so.
Yeah, cool. Now take us you said you tried a couple more coffee places here on your trip. Take us quickly through the on a little trip to the other places that you visited there?
Well, the other place I had tried was just off of Route 90 in Bellevue, Washington, which is just outside Seattle, for those that don't know. And this little place was called Mondo's. And Mondo's is just a little, you know, probably a 15 by 15 foot little hut. You see a lot of little espresso huts all over the place that you go, but this place had different coffee drinks and some food, but not a whole lot. And it's kind of, they had a double drive-through on each side, you know, you keep the cars going kind of thing. So I figured I'd try it out, pick it up, and see how it was. And actually, unbelievably, it was very good. I was very surprised. Enough that I went back the next day just to ask them what kind of beans they used there. And they said it was a Cascade brand. That was as much as the girl knew. But very good blend, very good flavor. It was more, it was a bolder flavor. But
maybe a little darker.
Yeah, probably. I don't know if it was a little darker, maybe a little bit darker, but it was just a distinct flavor, something different about it. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a, I guess. I was gonna say. I don't remember what I was gonna say. Lost my train of thought. But
that's all right. That's all right. I was gonna. Yeah. For a little hut type of place, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I was going to ask you, what, as a person, I mean, you and I both grew up on the East Coast, obviously, our families, you know, in Michigan and Pennsylvania. What was your biggest impression, you know, with how coffee, you know, just the coffee culture on the West Coast? What hit you the most about the coffee culture?
Well, that's what it is. I mean, it's a coffee culture out here. Out east, it's coffee is just kind of a thing you might have after a meal or something. It's usually a drip coffee. You know, espresso out east isn't, the only espresso they have pretty much is Starbucks. You don't find a lot of these other, you know, smaller shops doing their own roasting. There are some here there, and it's growing, definitely growing. But on the West Coast, it's established. And you find that there's people here with experience, and it's just, it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it's everywhere. Like, you know, we were on a tour in Seattle, and the tour guide said, he mentioned something about Starbucks and the original Starbucks there and towards Pike Place Market, and saying how, you know, they live on coffee and they live on caffeine. And I think just the, you know, probably there's more exposure to it growing up, and people are accustomed to it and have a taste for it, and so you have more of that out here on the West Coast.
Why do you think that's because the weather is different on the West Coast? You know, it's more kind of green, more a wet climate, or what do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, it is. You have the stereotype of Seattle being kind of a rainy city and overcast, and so maybe the caffeine kick is what everyone needs to keep them going or something. I don't know, but it might just be somehow, you know, the influence of Europe on this part of the country. Maybe, I don't know.
Now, did you feel intimidated? Like, you were saying that it's definitely more part of the culture than on the East Coast. Did you kind of feel intimidated going into, you know, some of these coffee shops where, you know, it looked like maybe everyone was an expert at ordering, you know, what they were gonna get? Or
yeah, you know, I did notice some of that, and like I went to a place yesterday, stopped in, and the lady asked what exactly I wanted, and so I just told her, you know, I'll just have a straight, you know, 12-ounce latte or whatever, and So she's like looking at me like for a special order. You know, like everyone that comes in says they want this, 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 and this. And yeah, I'm not that. I don't have that much criteria in mind. I just go for the straight latte. But yeah. I think, you know, it's not intimidating. They you know, anyone in the coffee world knows that they'll welcome someone else into their world easily, and you're usually pretty friendly. So
yeah, yeah. Now, are the espresso carts still on the streets in Seattle, or is it more shops now?
You know, it might have been the time of year, but I didn't see many of them. I mean, there were a couple here and there. I'm trying to think the places. We actually saw some in Oregon that you'd stop at. It seems like national parks and visitor centers, that kind of thing, is where you see the cart. But in Seattle and downtown, it was really more the shops. We didn't see many carts sitting out or anything. It wasn't. But I know Cafe Vivace on their website said they still have theirs. I didn't visit it, but they said they still have their stand out. So I assume they're around.
Yeah. Now where you're at now in Cannon Beach, you're in Oregon, obviously. Have you ever tried any coffee down there yet, or are you just kind of chilling out? Or?
Well, I did try it last night. There isn't much of a coffee scene here in Cannon Beach, apparently. There's one place that advertises espresso, another place advertises they have roasted organic coffee, and there, neither of those were open last night. We went to a pizza place that's rated in the top 50 in America for pizza restaurants, and went to that last night, and the guy was saying how if you want, you know, some espresso or whatever, go down the block a little bit, and there's the Cannon Beach Coffee or Cannon Beach Cookie Company, and they do lattes and stuff down there. So I went down there and got one, and it wasn't, I don't know how to say it, it really wasn't that good.
Yeah.
On your bean scale, well, it probably would have been a 2 or a 3. it wasn't much different than going up the machine, pushing a button, and having, you know, the blend, the mix, powder mix come out. So, yeah.
Well, it's hard when you, after you've had what's considered one of the best, you know, a latte from one of the best cafes in the country, to go after trying everything else, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'm curious to try out this other espresso place here. I might do that this evening. But, yeah, other than that, there just doesn't seem to be a lot here in Cannon Beach. Now, Cannon Beach is fairly small. I mean, it's not a big town by any means, and the population is small. It's more of a touristy town, a lot of little shops and stuff. So I thought there would be more here, but there really isn't as far as coffee goes. It's a lot of artist galleries, you know, glass making and glass blowing and that kind of thing.
Right.
Some little bakeries and seafood shops, but that's about it. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, have Kristen at least say hi here before we sign off, so we don't leave her out of the podcast.
Okay, hold on. She's
is she there?
She's walking around. I just want you to say hi first.
Hello.
Hello, Kristen. You're on.
Sorry.
You're on the search.
Sorry,
for the
coffee expertise to give you.
No, that's okay. We just wanted you to say hello so that we know you exist, at least.
I do exist, yeah. Not in the coffee world, but I do exist.
Yeah. Have you been enjoying... Ben said Seattle smells like coffee when you walk down the street. Have you been enjoying that?
Oh, yeah. I like to smell it.
Okay.
I like smell of coffee. Yeah, smells good. Just don't like the taste.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's good. Okay, put them back on.
I'm back.
Okay, cool, man. Well, sounds good. She said she likes the smell of coffee, but not drinking it.
Yeah, you know, we'll convert her one of these days. Some people just take longer than others, but...
Yes, it takes. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to see the light, right?
That's right.
Cool, man. All right, well, have safe travels on your way back to the East Coast, and I hope you get to try a few more places in Portland there before you head back, and yeah, maybe we'll catch up with you later. All right.
Sounds good.
Cool, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yep. May the coffee world live on.
All right. Take care, man.
Yep. We'll see you.
Catching up with my brother there. I'm going to go ahead and, before I tell you about the airplane, you're actually currently with me here at 30,000 feet, somewhere over the Pacific. I think we're still maybe another 2 hours out from Hawaii yet, but we're at 30,000 feet and almost 500 miles per hour ground speed. Give or take maybe 30 miles per hour, but yeah, you're here with me in seat 14C, and I'm going to launch right into the coffee scenes. As you remember, we had El Paso, and then we did a split week in Amarillo and Lubbock. Yeah, it was a busy week, really busy week. So in El Paso, I'm going to start right in. The first place I stopped at was the Coffee Emporium. Now, this place, as it suggests, it sells beans and also, like, you know, coffee machines. Had a nice selection of press pots, vac pots, stuff that you normally wouldn't. I think they had the compresso, the new grinder, drip brewer, all in one, at the burr grinder. So, good stuff, and you can buy a lot of coffee beans there as well. It's kind of a boutique place, and they sell chocolates. So I got a mocha latte there, and I wrote here, served in-house cup. They asked on the whipped cream. Foam was a little on the loose side. Chocolate was okay. Pretty blah espresso, but the price was right. It was pretty affordable. So 3.7 beans on that. The next one I'm going to call, well, the name, it's let's just say I had to keep the podcast clean to keep its clean reading, so I'm going to call it Bad A Coffee. You can substitute. I can't even talk at 30,000 feet. You can substitute any choice word for A in there. So Bad A Coffee, and this is a chain that originates in Hawaii, actually, which I'm looking forward to maybe visiting the original place. And I wrote about they definitely have a Hawaii theme, and it's a franchise, and it's kind of cool. I mean, as far as interior decorating, they had like a mini volcano in there with sand and everything, so pretty wild stuff. So in any case, the drink I brought here, tasty but not quality. They used powdered chocolate, terrible foam, could kind of taste the espresso, but seemed a little bit on the milk and chocolate heavy, so nothing too special here. So 3.7 beans. Next up is Christoph's Coffee. It's in a little, kind of, I guess, a little hip town shopping center there. And when I walked in, it was very, very busy, actually. A lot of local college students. I think as far as coffee and cafe culture goes in El Paso, that's kind of the main place there for people to hang out and study, and so they have, I think they had a La Marzocco in there, and had etching on the top of the drink and stuff, so very cool kind of local vibe to an independent coffee house there. The drink I wrote, a decent drink, good type foam, no latte art though, served in-house cup, had chocolate sauce on top, hence a little chocolate heavy taste. espresso, but a little better than average. We definitely drink again. So 4.1 beans on that. And the last one in El Paso was the Java beans. And this is a little roadside stand up on the northwest side of the city there, and right near the Walmart. And it's one of those little drive-by huts, and they also have seating where you can sit down. And I wrote about this drink. This wasn't even in the ballpark of good. Loose foam, too much of it, actually. Very fake-tasting chocolate, terrible espresso. Did ask a little bit of cream. Would definitely not drink again. 1.2 beans. Now, as I said, we also played Amarillo and Lubbock, and on the way up to Amarillo, I stopped in Carlsbad, New Mexico, on the way by the caverns there. This place are called Nez Bar, and it's kind of, maybe like a pizza shop meets coffee house. And I think the coffee is definitely the secondary secondary importance there, because it wasn't very good. I would hear about the drink. Overpriced coffee-flavored chocolate water. Yeah. The barista was more concerned with her cell phone, and this drink tasted like it. Terrible foam, blah chocolate, served out of a go cup. Espresso tasted like instant coffee. Definitely would not drink again. 1.1 beans on there. Next up is Java Coffee. Now, this is in Artesia, New Mexico. I think that's how you say it. Artesia. Just south of Roswell there, maybe 20, 30 miles. And a cool little downtown area. They have a historic downtown where you can, a lot of old shops and barbershops and kind of places. And this is kind of a cool little find. A lot of good stuff going on there. You walk in and... a little bit cliche on the whole environment and everything, but really doing great stuff. They're pulling shots with a bottomless portafilter. They have a scale there, so you can measure the tapping pressure for the baristas. So just, you know, a lot of good. Those are all good signs when you walk into a cafe and see them pulling shots on a bottomless portafilter, you know, and have nice Mazur Mini, grinders and. It's usually a good sign. So the drink over here, an interesting drink. Very decent espresso shot from the bottomless portafilter. Okay foam, no latte art though. Average chocolate taste. Balance was a little heavy on the milk. Better chocolate and balance would have made this a great drink. So 4.4 on that. Moving on to Amarillo. I did reach Amarillo. There was one coffee shop in Roswell, famous for the Roswell incident, the UFO whole thing, but it was closed, unfortunately. They closed before I got there, so perhaps in the future. Next up, Amarillo, Texas. Not too much coffee happened in Amarillo. First place I checked out was Roaster's Cafe, and it's part of Hastings, which is it's kind of like a Barnes & Noble or a Borders, and Roasters is kind of part of that store, even though I think it's an independent place there in Amarillo. So a little bit of seating area. They have a drive-thru, the free Wi-Fi. I wrote here about the drink, pretty generic mocha latte, pretty terrible foam, chocolate-heavy balance, average espresso. I could just take it or leave it, really, served out of the go cup, asked on the whipped cream, so 3.8 beans on that. And that's pretty much it for Amarillo. I have two more places, but I don't have the names here in front of me. I have the reviews, but I'm not going to tell you the review if I don't have the name of the place. I'll just put them up on the blog. You can check out the blog for the other two there. Next up is Lubbock, Texas. Now, I was looking on the map. It really looked like there was a lot of coffee going on, and I was very surprised. And there's actually a guy out there, Jason, who started a blog for the Lubbock coffee scene. And if you Google it, you'll find it. You can check it out. But the places I tried, and it was about seven or eight different places. The first one was Manja Bivanda, and it's cool. It's kind of a little bit wouldn't say run down, but it definitely looks well used, I guess you could say. And very nice website, and they tout themselves as an Italian cafe, but it didn't feel very Italian to me. Kind of felt utilitarian, I guess, and kind of in its feel. Like I said, kind of worn down over the years. But the drink I got, I wrote here, well, I was disappointed. It was served in house cup, which is a good thing. They asked on whipped cream, but foam was fairly loose. Espresso taste was weak. Chocolate okay, but they added cinnamon, I tasted, and that's a different style mocha, really. So it was interesting, but wouldn't drink it again. 3.4 beans on that. Next up is Aroma's Coffee House, and this is a lot more the cliche coffee house with the couches and the chairs, and you know, they have a pretty cool layout they have with the way they have the coffee bar set up. It's kind of a horseshoe shape that goes out into the cafe, and they have, like, I think they have live music there because they have a little raised platform that you could do for live music. But the drink, on the other hand, I wrote yet another, underlined, another coffee place that put whipped cream on by mistake and then just scraped it off and reserved it. must be a fad growing in the coffee shop industry. What was left of the drink tasted average, served all to go cup, average foam, and balance a little chocolate heavy, average espresso. I could take it earlier. 3.6 beans. Next, Daybreak Roaster, Coffee Roasters, and this is a local Lubbock, Texas coffee shop. I wasn't impressed. I mean, you go in, it's kind of the cliche coffee shop. They did have a few couches. Definitely a local vibe, independent local kind of vibe. It's a local business, and I think coffee roasting beans is their main focus. They have a lot to choose from as far as origins and blends and that kind of stuff that you can buy whole beans. But more importantly, the drink, which I was very disappointed with. I wrote here, superfluous mediocrity abounds, exclamation mark. Served out to go cup, auto whipped cream, of course, so of course balance was thrown off by the whipped cream. Overall, too sweet, chocolate slightly below average, foam covered with whipped cream, about average espresso taste. So tasty, sweet, but needs help. So 3.2 beans on that. Next up is Sugar Browns, and Sugar Browns, I have to say, for environment, they definitely get the award. So that was the stewardess coming around with water there. But I'm giving the coffee scene. I'll get water later. So Sugar Browns, I walked in, and very cool environment. Just the walls are painted so that you feel like you're out in the middle of a kind of like a wheat field, I guess, and just a lot of cool art. A lot of attention paid to the environment of the place, and that was definitely reflected by the vibe, you know, which, you know, people hanging out and talking, and then they had a three-piece folk band there as well that night. So I think it was like a Thursday night. So just very cool vibe. The drink, on the other hand, first impression, in-house cup, loose foam. Espresso dominant. Espresso was decent. Milk was lacking. This drink was probably understeamed. Chocolate was there, but overshadowed by the espresso. Had potential, but gave it 3.7 beans. Next up is Stein's Coffee. And Stein's is more downtown because you have Texas Tech University there. And at the university, there's it had actually just gotten out of session, but Stein's is a newer place. Very artsy kind of feel. They had, like, I guess Texas Tech is, they have a fossil museum, and so there were, like, a lot of fossils just, like, randomly on counters as decoration and stuff. So kind of cool, very friendly people. They serve sandwiches and soups and that kind of stuff, as well as coffee. As far as the drink goes, I wrote, interesting drink to say the least. Decent foam, no latte art though. Chocolate was average. Espresso was a little on the subdued side. Cert Auditor Cup would drink again, 3.6 beans. And last but not least is L&B Coffee. And this is just south of the university there, real close to the campus. And it's kind of a cliche place, definitely independent. It's a independent owned and operated local people, the couches. They serve whole beans, and you can buy them, and they'll grind them for you as well, if you like. But the drink I got there, I was very disappointed with. This drink and I didn't get along. I wrote way too sweet on the chocolate, to the point where it was hard to drink, actually. Slightly loose foam, could hardly detect espresso. Served out of the go cup, yikes. 2.6 beans. So that wraps up the coffee scene for this week. And the podcast next week coming up is going to be my next time you hear me, I'm going to be coming straight from Hawaii. That's right. I'm on my way now. I think about maybe 2 hours out. I can't tell because they got the movie on right now, but yeah, 2 hours out. I just had my snack and my water. I got they give you roasted peanuts and what'd I get? Orange juice. Yeah, that's what I got. Gotta have your vitamins, even though it was from concentrate, but it's on an airplane at 30,000 feet. What do you expect, you know? So, but yeah. So the next time you hear me will be from Hawaii, and I'm gonna give a report from the cupping workshop. The first day I get there, I'm gonna do a 2-day cupping workshop at Kona Community College, right in the middle of Kona Country. And I've already got some exciting stuff lined up. Get to visit. I'm gonna try to take you to visit a coffee farm and talk with some coffee farmers there in Kona Country, and talk with the local people, and just all sorts of fun stuff in store. So you got to tune in these next 2 weeks. I'm gonna do one podcast each week. So really good stuff. And as always, you can write in at, the website's bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. And go in there. I always put a blurb and a picture, and there's a link on there to the brand new forums, which you can, you know, leave a message. You can want to talk about things you like to hear, or your favorite podcast, or maybe even things you didn't like, that kind of thing. Or you can always email me at bestmochalatte@gmail.com and send a message in there. So, yeah, good stuff. And I'd like to also send a thank you to the Blueberry Network for letting the podcast be a part there. A lot of good stuff going on over there. And before I sign off this week from the airplane, from 30,000 feet, from 14C, actually, I'm sitting right by the bathrooms, which I'm learning is not... If any out there ever fly, try not to get the seat by the bathrooms, because, trust me, when you have a long flight, like 10 hours, there's a lot of people that want to use the bathroom. And you get to... let's just say you become part of the experience of the coming and goings of the bathroom when you were literally right across the aisle from it. So, yeah, for future reference. Yeah. So cool. Well, that wraps up the podcast for this week, and I'm going to leave you with a brand new one from Mod Dog, and I'm going to entitle it, I hope he doesn't hate me for this, I'm going to change the name to Flying High this week, since you're all with me here in the airplane, up in the air. So, yeah, check it out. It's good stuff, really good stuff. So until next week, we're going to be in Hawaii. Until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.
We'll be right back.